blowing smoke. In the room I trapped myself in so long ago, where the blinds remain forever closed. Will it change? I hope so, 'cause I have spent the past 4 years trying to find some peace of mind, and I think I might have found it this time.
3, 2, 1. Ladies and gentlemen, here we are, episode 90. I'm 10 away from 100.
Yep, that's going to be huge.
Yeah. I don't know who the 100th episode is going to be. You know how like sometimes people like have it planned? Like, oh, the 100th, yeah. The 100th is going to be the big one. I have no idea.
That's a lie. He said he had this whole notebook full of ideas for the 100th episode that he was telling me.
Not at all.
Yeah.
I go by the seat of my pants on this show. Yeah, so if you guys are listening to this, if you're listening to the audio of this, you have a treat, because what we're doing now on the network is the video comes out later, but I always kind of like put it a couple days out. Yep. So I'm thinking I'm going to put this out on Wednesday night, okay. Or Wednesday at 6:30.
Okay,
but if you're listening to this, you're going to be listening to this Friday night. So I put the audio up immediately after we get done recording.
That's going to be fun.
So I'm trying to drive more people to go subscribe to us on podcast apps and iTunes and Spotify and Google Podcasts and stuff like that. So if you're really a diehard fan and you want to hear things right away,
yep,
that's the way to do it. Turn your notifications on so when something does pop up, you see it. Merch page is up. You can check out merch for Interviews with Everyday People. Go grab a t-shirt. If you do get a t-shirt, make sure you take a picture of yourself in your t-shirt or your sticker or whatever you order, because there's a whole bunch of stuff there. You have some merch on our page now.
I do now.
You are on Truth Behind Illusion. We have your Deer Man head.
I love it.
Yeah, so you were on Truth Behind Illusion and told us your story of the Deer Lady.
The Deer Lady, yep.
And you joined us for the Wendigo episode.
Yep.
Yeah. How did you like it?
It was a blast. I had a lot of fun.
You were supposed to join us that night, the next day, and then for Not Cool in High School, but I went through caffeine withdrawal.
Yeah.
So,
I've been there.
Yeah, I went 4 days without caffeine, and I thought I was dying the next day.
Yeah, no, it's totally understandable.
I took a nap. I drank a little bit of iced tea. I took a nap and woke up, and I was like, all right, we're still doing Not Cool in High School, but you already had plans. So
yeah.
So we're going to make up for it. So you're going to be, we're doing the interview, so you're watching this now Wednesday, or listening to it right now, but then you'll be on Banging Beers, which will also air on Saturday.
Yeah.
So you're going to try some banging Double beers tonight.
Tip. Yeah.
It's going to be a fun time. Yeah, so it's going to be fun. Well, for the people, obviously, the title and the header is your name. Let people know who you are.
My name is Jackson Gunnelson. I live in Pottsville. I used to live in Oklahoma and Minnesota, so sometimes my accent does whatever it wants.
Yeah. You're just like a melting pot of voices.
Yeah, I've been everywhere. But I live in Pottsville right now, and I mostly list myself as a freelance videographer, though I do all sorts of things as well.
Yeah. So what are some of the projects you've done so far that you're, maybe not the ones that are coming out because you don't want to release stuff, but like,
yeah,
what are some stuff you've worked on? Like, what type of videography work have you done without giving away the projects, but type of things?
Type of things? I've done some commercials, which never saw the light of day, and because of legal reasons, I'm going to keep low. I've done several music videos, many of which are out, and I've sent you the links. They should be in the description. Mostly music videos, because I like working with them the most. I really like short-form narrative.
Yeah.
And it might just be because of my attention span.
Mm-hmm.
But like, I'd rather work on something really cool for that's 3 minutes long than something that's going to take, you know, months and months
of editing
to prepare for something that would be much longer, like a 50-minute thing. I would be all right with that. But if I'm able to bang out a 2-minute music video in a weekend,
yeah,
I'd do that every week.
Yeah.
You know, a video of for Tyus Swoop, he was a guest on the show earlier.
Oh, he was a blast.
Yeah.
What a character.
Yeah. He's a good friend of mine. That was such a short turnaround for the video.
Mm-hmm.
We went out and shot the video after I was done with work.
Was it the one in the woods?
Yeah.
I did watch that, yeah.
We went to his grandmother's house. We went out into the woods, and we shot all of it that day, we expecting to not have enough and have to, you know, go back and shoot some more. But I get home, and I say, all right, I got work tomorrow morning. I'm just going to chill right now. So I go to work, which I don't work anymore. I'm currently jobless, but I'm fine with that. It's not, it's my own choice. It's not circumstance.
Yeah.
I decided on it. But after I got home from work, I just started cranking out editing it. And like, I was just expecting to get like, all right, here's a rough feel. I'll send it to him and he can like say what he likes, say what he doesn't like. But as I was going, it ended up being so, it's one of my best works so far. And I say that about every video that I make, that, mm-hmm. The escalation of skill is just very apparent.
Yeah.
3 years ago, I didn't know what I was doing at all. And now I'm making pretty decent videos.
Yeah.
On a, I'm not going to say a regular basis, but.
When you can.
When I can, yeah.
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 Yeah, I can definitely relate. If you go back and watch like episode one and then watch
I did.
90,
I,
it there's a progression.
Yeah, there definitely is.
Yeah. the older stuff was true. I mean, the first one, it was audio wasn't terrible,
you
but
gotta
it wasn't
have
good.
A skeleton. You got to have a skeleton.
I didn't know how to set mics up. I didn't know how to do like a lot of shit. And now I mean, I'm still learning. I'm still not amazing at it, but I'm getting there.
Yeah, yeah.
Even Joe Rogan's podcast at first started terrible.
Yeah.
Really bad. It was the first episode is them trying to figure out how to live stream, and
oh,
they record
good.
It and
that's
put it
good.
Up.
I'm gonna have to check that out. Yeah. I haven't seen that. I see clips of, you know, his show all the time.
Yeah,
but I haven't seen the first one. I'll have to check that out. But that was such a for Tyus's video. I edited the entire thing the day after we shot it.
Mm-hmm.
My internet is awful where I live. I can get by. You know, it's not bad, but like uploading, downloading. Takes hours.
Really?
A 2 minute video can take like 2 hours for me.
Holy
to upload.
Shit.
Yeah. And that's because, you know, other people in the house running stuff. So that's another reason I don't make too many videos, because just it takes a while for me to get them out.
Hmm.
But, you know, I edited it that night. What I did was I took my phone up and I got into like a FaceTime with him. And I premiered it for him using my phone. I just hit record, and I said, all right, get ready for this. Tell me what you think. Tell me if you want anything changed, you know. But I'm happy with this. And I showed it to him, and he loved it.
Yeah.
Go check out his music, by the way. He's already been on the show, but I'm going to plug his music anyways because it's fantastic. He's still working on stuff.
Do you have a direction that you like to do when you're doing music videos? Do you want to tell a story? Is it like, are you like a traditional music video where you want it to be kind of a story, or is it just more like, here's a band, we're playing music?
I move toward more closer towards
like a cinematic
story.
Yeah,
even when there's not, like with Ty's video, there barely was a story, but there was some like emotional
mm-hmm.
attachment to it. There was also the video I did for Max. Have you seen that one?
The little bit that you sent me,
the serial killer one. That was also a really short turnaround. That was probably my shortest turnaround. All the actors came over at like 6. We shot it. I took them to Sheets for some food. I went home and started editing it, and it was done by like 12:30.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat where if I do something or create something, I'm like, I have to. It's fresh on me. I want it done.
Yeah, and
I obsess a little bit.
And I'll get into that a bit later, but it's a blessing and a curse,
because mm-hmm.
you don't like sitting on things.
Yeah.
You know? I work on music myself as well. And it's something that I'm working on an album right now, actually. And I say working very loosely,
because
mm-hmm. I haven't really done any work on it since, like, last December. I have 3 songs done. We did a music video for one of them. And then other stuff came up, and I just didn't have that. I have a title for a song that it's such a good title, but I don't know how to write the song around it. It's I Shot My Neighbor's Dog, (with a Super Soaker). And it's just going to be this dumb song. Because, like, a lot of, like, comic rappers, which is kind of what I do. I'm trying to move away from it, but I still do comedy rap.
Mm-hmm.
There's
a place for everything.
Yeah, there's a place for everything. And I like doing both. I don't want to set myself as doing one or the other, but I've mostly done comedy in the past. One of the links in the description should be the music video that I did for myself. That video, again, short turnaround, that was for a film festival, actually. So I wrote, recorded, mixed the song, and made the video all within 48 hours.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And, like, there was a joke. I have a bad habit of making up jokes that no one gets whatsoever.
But they entertain you.
But, yeah, I think it's funny. So before we started shooting the music video, my friend Tim Correo, who I worked on it with, we were like, all right, what do we want the tone for this video to be? What do we want? And I came up with the idea, I think it would be funny if I just didn't try to lip sync at all. Where like the lyrics would go up and I'm just going.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that would be funny. It looks, but I don't explain that in the video that's what I'm doing.
So it looks like it's badly edited.
So it just looks like it's poorly edited. But I swear to God, I do this all the time too. I made I'll talk about that later, actually. But I came up with this joke that the lip sync is just awful.
Yeah.
Then I didn't tell anyone else that I was doing that. It's a problem. I know it, but I still think it's funny.
Yeah.
And we had fun making it. We walked past a dog. There's a shot in it where I'm petting a dog. No way did we plan it. We were just walking around, and there was a couple with a dog. And we said, can we get a shot of me petting the dog? And then we just threw it in because I thought it was funny.
Yeah.
We found a staircase, so we were like, oh, let's recreate the Joker scene where he's like dancing on the staircase.
Yeah, dancing on the stairs.
It's not explained at all in the video. And did I explain what the song was about?
No.
Okay. This is like where it gets into like anyone can relate.
Yeah.
Especially college students. And because when I showed this song to all my college friends, they're like, yeah, dude, you fucking get it. It's a song about getting hit by a car on campus so that you get free tuition. Because that's like a rumor that everyone knows about.
Yeah.
Because the joke is, oh, there's no downside. You either get hit and you survive and then college is free, or you don't.
Yeah.
And you don't have to worry. You know?
Isn't it like, there was a movie. I mean, I'm going to show my age here, but it was like when I was in high school, it came out. And it was the premise of the movie was if you're roommate dies or commits suicide, you get your tuition for free.
Yeah, it's very similar to that.
Yeah.
And that's another one that is, people joke about, but I didn't want to.
You're like hiding their medication.
Yeah, I thought it would be.
Times are tough, Jim. Sorry.
It'd be funnier to like put it on me instead of somewhere else. Someone else would be less malicious.
Yeah, yeah. It was, I forget what the name of that movie is.
I know what you're talking about. I do know what you're talking about.
While you're telling your story, I'm gonna look it up real quick.
But yeah, the song. And I think the lyrics, I don't remember them offhand, even though I was just listening to it. But I think it ended up being pretty good, especially considering that I wrote, recorded, mixed it, recorded the video, and then edited the video in a weekend. And audio mixing is not, I know how to do it. I can't
Dead
do
Men
it.
On Campus.
Yeah. I've heard of that one, yeah.
It's fucking old. 98, holy shit, that was in middle school. I thought that was another one, too. I could be wrong. Who knows? But yeah, it was funny.
I made another song, actually.
I'm into, like, so, like, for me, everyone, like, well, who's your favorite rapper? And I have a bunch.
But I hate that question.
Yeah.
Who's your favorite anything?
Yeah. Because
you like things for different reasons,
absolutely.
You know?
But I really do like when people don't take themselves seriously sometimes, especially in rap where everyone acts, like, everyone has to be hard or, like, have to have, like, street cred.
Yeah.
And to me, that just gets boring after a while.
It does.
So, for, like, and I understand where people come from in their music and hip hop, but I'm not going to sit here and pretend that I can relate to it because I can't.
Yeah.
Like, I cannot relate to a black guy who has to worry about social injustice and living his life and being forced into a gang because if he's not protected, he's going to get killed. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I can respect that, but it's not me.
Exactly. You know? So, like, when I hear other people try to emulate that rap style, it's like, come on.
If it's not authentic, then it really does show. And
so for me is like, well, who's someone you really like listen to? And I'm like, don't make fun of me, but I really like Malcolm Moore. I said, because he has fun with his music.
I
can relate to his music, and it's not over the top goofy. But then when he does like a serious song, like where he talks about like a loss of a family member, or the Pride song that he did, like about the like love is love and shit,
it still comes from the heart.
And then he did that one, my drug dealer is my doctor, where he talks about pain pill addiction.
Yeah,
it's like, fuck, man, like he can do both. Like he can make a joke about going into a thrift shop and having a good time, or riding a moped, but then he can hit you with some serious stuff too.
One of my favorite rappers and one of my biggest influences is Jakey.
I'm not sure who that is.
He's also a YouTuber, Nakey Jakey. He has a couple million subs, something like that. But he also makes his music, and like, God,
just
it's
come
just,
a little closer.
Sorry,
it's alright.
God, it just touches me, you know, because he's talking about growing up in a small town. A lot of the people around you don't really have anywhere to go.
Is that the dude with the big guy? Is he a white dude?
Yeah.
Does he have an afro? Like a big poofy hair?
I think I know what you're talking about, but no.
Or that's a guy from Hulu, I think.
One of his songs, like, it sounds like a joke, but the first line is, don't eat glass because it's bad for your teeth. And like, it sounds funny, but he's talking about meth, you know.
Okay, yeah, I've seen him before. I just never heard his music.
And like, it hits so hard because I have friends that, you know, from high school that have just become deadbeats, and I still put my heart out. I'm not, but it's a shame seeing people that you grew up with fall down that path.
I mean, and that's something that everyone can relate to in this area, where you go to high school with somebody and you see them like 10 years later and you can say like they did not have a good go. You know what I mean? Like there's people that I hung out with that I don't want to put names out there, but like me and this kid were kind of like, he was like my, I don't want to say rival, but he was the kid that when I went to school, I was like, man, I hope he doesn't fuck with me today, because he was always bigger, stronger, and he had the most influence. And if he put his sights on you and he went at you, like he would, it was scary. Like it was intimidating to go to school with this person. And then me and him became friends with the same person. So we had like a common friend and we always hung out. But every time I was there, it was like, okay, maybe I'm in his friend circle now. So then I was like, well, if they're making fun of me in a social standards, then maybe when we go out in public, it won't be as bad anymore.
Right.
So it was one of those things where I was like the butt of their joke in our social group. But like, so then I kind of got a little less heat when I went to school.
Yeah.
But we were in a situation where we were, you know, didn't have the greatest, like he didn't have the greatest life coming up. And, I didn't grow up rich either. Like, but, and then we went to school and we hung out with this kid, and then, you know, times we grew up and the kid that was our mutual friend passed away. And then like but he never got into that. And even though his whole upbringing and influence should have went that route, but he didn't. But yeah, it happens all the time, man, where people
I've got friends like that.
Some people just have weird forks in the road, and you see them later on and you're like, man, I'm proud of you that you didn't go that route. Or you're just like, man, I hope you get better. You know,
it's love no matter what, you know?
Yeah. Dude, I was driving with somebody down the road the one time in Pottsville, and there was a woman by the pizza place by the bank there.
Yeah.
And she was literally talking to her reflection in the bank mirror and just like just tripping out. And I remember someone's like, ha ha ha, look at her. And I was like, that's someone's family. Like she belongs to somebody. Like not belongs in that way, but like that's someone
holds them dearly.
Yeah. And she's just a lost soul right now. Like, and you can't, like, in a party, like, you want to go up and be like, you need help, but at that point in time, there's nothing you can do.
Yeah.
You kind of hope that they, like, they get arrested so they can get cleaned up in prison. You know what I mean?
Or something else happens.
Yeah.
Where
but then in the same token, like, this is a whole other topic, but like people go to jail and the jail's not designed for them to come out and become social again, because if you get the charge, you can't get a job because now you went to jail. Like, jail can help you get clean and get better and turn your life around and rehabilitate you.
Yeah.
But then you come out and you have all these charges, and then you can't reestablish yourself in society.
It's like a barrier on how far you can go.
Well, I'm not hiring you. You were in jail for six months for a drug. It's like, well, no, I went to jail. I'm clean. I need this job to get better. Like, and they're like, we're not giving you the job. So they resort right back to where they were in the first place.
Such a goddamn shame.
It sucks, man. It's just, I think that's what happens a lot out in our area. Like, I know a lot of like people, they'll judge like, oh, don't go to the ghetto and see how bad it is. We're in a ghetto, like,
more or less. Yeah.
I mean, there is rich parts of our town and there is people with money in our town, but for the most part, we're all in the same boat. You know what I mean? Some people can hide it a little better with their clothes. Like, oh, I'm going to go buy like $100 t-shirt or, you know what I mean? Like, but we're all in the same boat, man. We're not like, a lot of us are living paycheck to paycheck, except if you're in like an upper echelon, but we're all one day away from possibly being at that point where we're struggling. And if more of us opened up and like helped each other out and show love to one another, it could be a good thing in this area.
Absolutely. And I think tying back to the initial topic, I think that's like really telling of like, because I do know rappers from this area who will talk about, you know, how tough they are. There are actual issues that you are going through.
Mm-hmm.
And it just by, you know, growing up in a certain class in a certain area. And if you're going to pretend that you're going through different issues for the sake of sounding hard.
Yeah.
That's just silly. You know?
I always looked at it this way. I always tell people, like, you want to be a rapper? And I said, yes. I said, I'm gonna be honest with you, man. Even if you don't own a gun and you're rapping about how you're going to clap people and you're willing to do that, I said, what you're doing right now is you're knocking on the devil's door.
Yeah.
Eventually, someone's going to answer it. So if they listen to your music or you do get popular, they're going to think, oh, you clap on people. Oh, you're not afraid to knock somebody out.
Yep.
Oh, you're a badass.
Yep.
Someone's going to get drunk in a bar one day and they're going to test you.
They're going to test you.
And it's not necessary.
I used to, a lot of my earlier songs that I did with my friend Alex,
mm-hmm.
a lot of those songs, and I still like, I and Tyus was on them too.
Mm-hmm.
I look back at them and like, I'm still happy with like getting started writing that, but like some of the jokes that we put in were just
cringy.
Yeah. Oh my God. And now my jokes are still cringy, but like I know it, so it's okay.
Listen, the same things that I said in high school to pick on each other and insult each other are things that if you said today, the cancel culture is all over.
Oh
you.
My God.
And what I try to explain to people is when you to change your mindset takes time.
It does.
To change culture takes time. You cannot. A movement is important to make a thing to say, hey. What's going on right now is not good and we need to fix it. But if people aren't, they can't fix overnight.
Yeah.
It's impossible. Oh,
no, you can't just say this is wrong. We need to stop. It's going to,
And so if like, for example, and it's crazy that we live in a time right now where still racial slurs are not as taboo as they are.
Yeah.
Like we talk about them being taboo. But like
people still say them.
But people still say them, or there is still hate behind them. But like, we're like homophobic slurs are making people with mental disabilities.
Yeah.
Is like, I think for the most part, I think some people still say them. Like, I'll say them in context sometimes, but like not directed at somebody.
Not trying to.
And even when I say them in context, I'm like, fuck, man, but it's hard to revert like. Because that's literally as a white dude who made fun of his other white friend growing up.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, don't be this. You know what I mean?
I grew up on Newgrounds.
Yeah.
You know?
And then I remember I talked to somebody about it.
Well.
Yeah. And I talked to people and they're like, well, what's the big deal, man? Why can't I say the word? You're like, isn't there freedom of speech? I said, yes. I said, but you don't understand the connotation that word can affect. And he goes, what do you mean? I said, what if you're a kid in a coal region town?
Yeah.
Who's gay? And everything you hear your entire life in a negative connotation is you're gay, you're gay, you're gay, or that's gay, or this is gay. And gay means bad, or gay means not good. And this kid is like, well, I want to tell people that I may be gay,
right.
But all my friends would hate me because everything that they say is bad is on that term. So you're saying it just because you're looking for a word to relate to that thing.
Yeah.
But to somebody else, you're putting a barrier there. And anything you want to, like, that kid, that person is not, is hiding who they truly are as a person and to be comfortable with themselves.
Yeah.
Because your choice of words puts them behind, you know what I mean? Puts them in a weird spot where they don't know if they're going to be accepted or not.
Yeah.
And that's damaging.
No, it's rough.
Yeah.
This ties a lot of things. I've been talking to, one of the songs, a couple of the songs actually,
mm-hmm.
I took on the role. This was my older music that I'm not really working on.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to move in a different direction, but I take the role of a school shooter.
Yeah.
And this is another like part, and they'd be comedy raps about school shootings, which is tragic. And I realize now that, you know, it can come across as callous, but the reason I made those songs wasn't to make fun of school shooters, is because throughout high school, I was made fun of for being a school shooter type. Mm-hmm. Whenever a shooting would happen, like, and this broke my heart when I was in school, everyone would be uncharacteristically nicer to me. And that hurt.
Yeah.
You know, because what that signified to me was, you think that I'm going to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And so the songs that I made about school shootings was like me making fun of that trauma in my life, of saying, oh, you think I'm a school shooter? Okay, haha, blah, blah, blah. I'm going to make a song about it. And it's all jokes. And I don't think they should be taken down for the sake of, like, you know, prosperity. I think it's...
Well, it's one of those things, too, where, like...
I'm different from how I wrote that.
Yeah. Yeah. And part of you writing that was getting that off your chest, probably, too.
Yeah.
So, it's... I don't want to use this movie as an example because I personally didn't see it. I'm just kind of reading what people are saying on the internet. But that Cuties movie where everyone's like, this is like the worst thing ever because they're sexualizing children.
Yeah.
But for the people who actually watched it said, no, this movie is highlighting how bad this shit really is.
Yeah.
And how influenced these kids can be if we don't make the right changes. So people are seeing a clip of a girl doing something completely shocking. And then everyone's like, you see how terrible this is? And yes, people with that have those mental things where they find that stuff appropriate can use that movie for the wrong reasons. But the majority of the reason that movie was made is saying, this is the real life things that are happening with kids. Yeah. So like people always say, like, our kids aren't like that. Your kid goes to school at 12 years old and he's learning everything about sex. They're saying every curse word behind your back. And people get jaded when they get older and have kids, but they were the same way when they were 12, 13 years old.
Yep.
You know, and then a movie comes out like that and they're like, this is terrible. I'm like, no, this is it's close to real life.
It is terrible, but that's because...
But going to the school shooting thing, it's like, I never, it wasn't like something I got in trouble and like police were involved, or I don't even think my parents were called, but there was twice where that came up with me as well. When Columbine happened, I just remember like someone said something, I was like, I don't care. And they're like, what do you mean? And I was like, I was, you know, old enough to really watch the news early, and I'm like, I can almost guarantee those kids got fucked with every day. They had a breaking point and they came in and took care of what they thought were their bullies, and if anyone else got in the way, they got it too. And then someone's like, Tony's twisted, and I got called in by a teacher, and we all sat down, and I was like, I remember saying this as a middle school kid to teachers and a guidance counselor. I was like, the reason this shit happens is more or less not on just the kids, but uses teachers and guidance counselors. Because if you're an adult and see me as a kid and see I'm not having a good go, you can protect me and you can have conversations with me and you can help this. But what majority of the teachers do, especially in our small call region town, is you join the bully, and you fuck with that kid even more. I mean, it happened to me. I've watched it happen to other kids where that one kid kind of gets picked on and everyone says something. The teacher's like, don't pick on him.
All the time.
You know what I mean? And it's so backhanded. You know what I mean? Like, the teacher's almost as bad as a bully as the kid.
Yep.
And then something dramatic happens where a kid kills himself or he hurts somebody or he snaps.
Oh, how could we prevent this?
And then they're like, poor kid. And like, no, you fucking let that kid down.
Any step of the way.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely.
Could have said something.
And then I did a whole report in middle school because that's when they started blaming it on Marilyn Manson, Eminem, and music and movies. And I was like, it's not the movie's fault.
I was just talking about this with my dad. A couple hours ago, I was saying, you know, they blame Doom, the video game. Do you know how many people played Doom? It was just like a good chance that he did. You know,
I mean, maybe the movies and the music could feed the flames, of saying, you know, I'm getting picked on, I'm going to do it. But that doesn't happen if an adult comes in and teaches the kid what's reality and what's not.
Yeah.
And that doesn't happen if somebody can just turn around and say, like, hey, we should probably lay off this kid. He's, you know, I mean, we're pushing to a breaking point.
Yeah.
But kids don't. And parents know growing up that it happened to other kids, and then they have kids, and they don't teach their kids how important it is not to do that shit. And it's a vicious, like, there's so many, life is just a vicious cycle when it comes to sexism, homophobic, racism,
yep,
kids getting bullied, all that. Like, nothing hasn't changed in probably 80 years, if not longer.
Shit, it's hundreds of years.
You can go right now and watch, and you can show The Breakfast Club to a 13-year-old kid right now, and they can watch that and then go to school and hit high school and be like, this is same shit, and this is three generations, yep, ago. Like, this is my parents' favorite movie growing up, or my grandparents' favorite movie, depending on how old your parents were when they had you. but like, that movie's still relatable today's times, like, where there's groups and there's cliques and, yeah, people get picked on, and like,
I saw a documentary from the 60s where it was just a camera crew, just filming school life, mm-hmm, and like, it obviously the styles and like behaviors were different. But it's the same shit.
Yeah.
You know, is the same shit going on. You see in movies and TV that, you know, because censorship was, I'm going into media history because that's what I studied.
Mm-hmm.
But like, because of censorship, because of this idea of American values that we were trying to push, it seems like all clean and pristine.
We try to put a blanket over,
yeah,
it.
Yeah, we look, when you turn on TV land, everything, you think of the good old days because they weren't allowed to show anything bad on TV. It all had to be happy, or if there was violence, white. If there was violence, it had to be a good guy stopping bad guys, and the good guy, there's nothing wrong with him. He's just a good guy saving the day, and the bad guys are always evil.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes minorities in these shows, because
we're always the bad guy.
Yeah, and it's unfortunate that is like a cornerstone of our culture.
Yeah.
Because it really hides a lot of the problems that were going on then. And even today, we look back at it and I mean, I don't want to get too political,
but about the term Make America Great Again.
They're thinking about this time that doesn't exist. It's a fictional, mm-hmm, you know.
And then when you try to explain to people, like, not everyone, when you're referring to that date and that point in time where you think it was amazing for a certain group of people.
Yeah.
So when you say that, people of color are like, well, what? When we didn't have rights?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, that's when you went. And so, and they're probably, and I'm trying to play devil's advocate or see both sides of the coin, because I'm not, but they're trying to say, no, when America was wholesome and we had values and people went to church and people went, that's what they're probably pointing out. Not, yeah, so much like, no, it wasn't because, like, because they don't think crime was a thing then. They don't think, how you're saying, it was all kind of, yeah, like, hidden.
And yes, statistics have gone up, but that's also because of the
reporting,
news, the 24-hour
technology.
Yep. Higher populations, of course there's going to be more crime.
Yep.
You know, after the baby boom, there's just more people.
Yeah.
You know? And there's also all these factors that play into things, so it's not all black and white.
And most of the news you're seeing now, it's very rare you see positivity news. So, yeah, all, like, we're literally just bred in a fear-mongering world right now, where when you turn the news on, it's just like fear, 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 fear,
there's
fear, fear.
It's almost like news and journalism took two different paths. Most of the mainstream stuff is that big, scary stuff. But there's also the news that is just nothing. Mm-hmm. Like the BuzzFeed, where it's like, oh, we're trying spicy food. Okay.
Yeah.
You know?
And honestly, like, that's the stuff I fall into. Like,
yeah, yeah.
Like, oh, the Try Guys simulate pregnancy. It's
sure.
Like, well, that's humorous. I'd rather watch that than everyone tell me that I shouldn't go outside because everyone's killing each other. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, yeah.
I mean, that is happening, and you can easily stumble into that, but I always look at the thing, if you go looking for trouble, you're going to find it.
Yeah. Yep.
Most of these people that are out there hurting each other are out there because they want to cause those problems. They want to be involved in something when it comes to that.
Yeah.
There are people out there doing peaceful stuff, but that doesn't get seen a lot.
Yeah.
You know, so it just, I don't know. It, I, you know, I, now that I'm kind of thinking about it, we're kind of, it's like it's we're saying that, you know, music and TV didn't influence a kid to shoot up a school, but it's like, man, in a way, maybe it did, because our media is just so telling you that all you see is negative. Yeah. You're like, it's easy to just be like, oh, well, I'll just fall into the trap too because everyone else is doing it.
Yeah.
So it's like a catch 22.
And it's even on a smaller scale. And, you know, you hear these, you know, drug statistics.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm not doing that great in school. Oh, I'm not popular. I might as well, you know, fall off the horse. And, you know, it happens.
I have nothing to live for. I'm not going to be successful. I'm going to be this. I might as well at least try the drugs and go have fun while I'm having fun now.
Yeah, and sometimes, you know, that works out. You party for a couple of years and then you get a job somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it doesn't. We see that all the time.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, it's crazy.
So I have my list up of things I wanted to talk about.
I know, this
about.
Is crazy. I never had a guest had a prepared top. I like it.
I
do like, though, like, just if this is your first time watching, because good old Jackson here brought you. We do go on little tangents, so you're going to have, like, those little, hey, well, butterfly moments, and we'll start, like, we'll be like, rap music, and we're like, hey, how about
the
Nintendo Switch?
The 50? Yeah. All right, so I talked about my music. Oh, yeah, finishing that thought. I am moving in a different direction with that. I think this is going to be like my public announcement of it, even though
exclusive.
Yeah, even though, like, I've told people before, I've told plenty of people. I've chosen a stage name that I like.
Okay.
Because I've always just been like, oh, it's me, it's my name. But lately, I've been falling into e-boy culture.
Yeah.
And so I came up with a name, IRL Boy. Because I act like an e-boy, but I have barely any social media presence.
Mm-hmm.
You just have to get to know me in real life. Because seeing like how I post...
You can just be Deer Man.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I can use that.
And you already have a logo.
Yeah. but like that's just how I am in real life,
ooh,
too.
I just thought of something really crazy. You could be the Deer Man, right?
Yeah.
Because every season a deer sheds antlers and they grow back bigger, stronger, and with more points.
Yeah, I like that. I like that.
Yeah.
I'll play with that.
Yeah. I like that a lot.
I'll play with that.
Because there's always like a rebirth to a deer after season.
I'm sticking with IRL Boy, but I can definitely use the deer.
Yeah.
I can definitely use that.
And then you're a boy deer and all you want to do is eat and have sex.
And I'm still working. I'm still working on the comedy album, but I am moving towards more serious stuff too.
Yeah.
I have 3 tracks done on the comedy album. The latest one was called Sick as Fuck. And that was also a very much a joke song. It dated instantly. Instantly. Because this was like 2 weeks before quarantine started.
Mm-hmm.
I got sick with the flu because it was the middle of March. Yeah, that happens.
Mm-hmm.
And... I got really sick. And the night before I was out clubbing, and then the next morning I just felt awful. And so I was like, my throat was, you know, awful. And I thought, man, it would be funny to do a rap song with just my throat all fucked up. And it's like very obvious.
You're sick.
And so I made the song about being sick.
But sick as in you're the best?
Both.
Yeah.
and like I start like, oh, this goes out to everyone who thought that I would never go viral. and like it was really funny because this was like when we were thinking that coronavirus wouldn't be
as big as it was.
I'm still leaving it up. It's not going anywhere.
Yeah.
But
wait till corona maybe passes.
Yeah, yeah. I make some jokes in that I
yeah.
You know, now that it's affecting a lot of people, I'm like, ugh.
Yeah.
I'm keeping it because I wrote it at the time. Tyus and I, we scrapped it a while ago.
It's like a Weird Al concept.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We were going to make a song about dodging the draft just because I thought it'd be a funny topic for a song.
Mm-hmm.
That's my process. I come up with a topic and then write around it.
Yeah.
And like I'll play the beat. Sometimes my friends make it. Sometimes I get one of those free for profit because... those are easy.
Yeah.
And I'll play it and I'll go
the flow.
Yeah, to get the flow. And then I'm like, all right, this is how many syllables there are. And then I have a little notepad and I'm like, okay, that fits there, that fits there, that fits there.
Mad libbing.
Yeah. And it sometimes works very well, sometimes it doesn't.
Yeah. Did you hear, well, I didn't know that he's kind of like back again, and I was always a big fan of him. Now he's a Twitch streamer. Did you see T-Pain Twitch streaming yet?
No.
So he made a rap for his intro to his stream, and it's so fucking good.
I'll have to look into that.
Yeah. It's you have to if you're looking, look up for T-Pain's stream intro. It's magical. Absolutely magical.
While we're still talking about music and music videos, this is also sort of an official announcement. Billy Trey and I are working on a very big project.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not allowed to talk about a lot of the details right now. But hopefully the plan is to get this out by November. Things might come up, things might change, but we're about a fifth of the way through with this project so far, and we've been working on it for about a month now, and I'm very excited for it. I'm not going to say anything further in case things change, in case, you know, I don't want to promise all these huge things and then it just not happen, but work is done on it. It's not like, oh, here's some ideas and then never talk about it again, because that happens with a lot of projects.
Absolutely, yeah.
And I face that a lot myself. I'm working on so many projects that we just haven't touched in a while. Two with my good friend Levi Walbert, who's a friend I met in college. One of which is a video game, a visual novel. And the plot of it is you are the apprentice of a famous wizard, and you're like supposed to help out with wizarding tasks.
Mm-hmm.
But your mentor just disappears one day. He dies. And you're left at the wizard tower, and you're the one who has to help everyone, all the clients, and you don't know what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
So you just go through them. We've written a couple chapters for it. A lot of it is just based on inside jokes and, you know, things that we think are funny. We were working on it really hard right before COVID hit, and then...
Did you see the new Harry Potter game trailer?
I saw that.
I've never watched a Harry Potter movie or read a book in my life, but that game looks unbelievable. It reminds me a lot of Fable.
Yeah. This game is a lot more simple. It's just a visual novel, so you get the picture and then text.
Yeah.
Levi's doing all of the art for it. He's a wonderful artist, and I am doing most of the writing. I said, if you want to write a chapter or some dialogue, you know, feel free by all means, but I'm doing most of the writing and graphic design.
Nice.
And because that's actually what I have been working as for the past couple of years, as a graphic designer for local theater companies.
Nice.
Whenever you'd go through, I think you probably would have seen at least one of my posters that I've made.
Did you do Clue?
I didn't do Clue. Well, let me check on my phone to see, because I know I've saved them all to a specific folder. I've done that one.
Okay. Yeah, I did.
Yeah. That one was me. So was this one.
I actually seen that play for the Bloomsburg Theater Ensemble. Holy shit.
Yeah.
But they had this dude come in who's like, Bloomsburg Theater Ensemble is a little bit of a different setup than the Majestic. They have they have a lot more production.
Yep.
And lights and stuff. Majestic is fantastic.
That was a good one that I made.
Oh, I know some people in that photo.
Yeah. And I did all the photography for that, and I've worked as a graphic designer for them for about 2 years now, 2-3 years.
Nice. Yeah, but that, what was it called?
The Curious Incident of the Dog in the Nighttime.
They should make a movie on that. Because the play is really good, but that would be a great movie.
It would make a good movie, I think.
But they would need to make two versions. They would need a very, hyper like when stuff happens, like when the kid goes through his stims in that movie, they need to really hit the audience with the lights and the sounds and the flashing lights and everything hitting at
special
once.
Special effects, yeah.
And then they need to do a version where it's like sensory safe for people. Yeah. Because when we went to see this production, the premise of the movie, without giving it, or the play, without giving too much away, it's a boy with autism, and he just goes through his everyday life. His mom's not around anymore. His dad has, his mom passed away. The dad is kind of just like struggling with the loss of the mother and trying to raise a kid with autism.
Yep.
The kid's very adventurous. He goes and explores and usually gets himself in trouble because people, like society, doesn't know how to really deal with him either, because they just think he's weird, but he's not, because he has a disorder.
Yeah.
And then he comes across his neighbor's dog has been killed, and he takes it upon himself that he wants to find out who killed his neighbor's dog. And then this just takes him on an insane journey.
Yep.
But as the movie goes and as the play goes, he'll have situations where he stims, which, and if you don't know much about autism, it's a great way to learn about it, because you don't really know what autism is going through until you experience it. Like in this play, from what I've seen, when I seen it, it kind of made you experience what they go through in a way. And they talk about it. Like the one thing of the play is the one lady asks, like, what do you go through? And he goes, when I was in the train on the way here, I seen 42 trees, 3 cows, 2 dogs. The trees had green, yellow, brown leaves. Like every single thing about the room is hyper detailed, and he zones in on every single small detail at one time, all at the same time.
Yep.
Where somebody else's brains, like everyone else's brains, can kind of like focus. Okay, block all that out. Just focus on that.
What's contextually important? Yeah,
and then how he. All of the sounds, lights, people, movement, talking, voices, everything kind of blends together in his head. Then when he has like an overstim, and it sounds like, and so the theater would pump full of like background noise, white noise, screeching, squeals, the lights would flash on the stage, and you're sitting there watching a play, and you're like, what? Like, you're like, oh my God, like your brain has to like reset itself, because they're hitting you with all this at once. And they're like, what you're experiencing is a fraction of what somebody with autism goes through. It was very like at the end of the play, I had like, I was emotional. Like I was almost like, I was moved by it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think I read something about like, that's not what every autistic person goes through.
Obviously. That's like a heightened case.
That is a very
specific
example.
There's different spectrums now.
Yeah.
Because a lot of the stuff that with like Asperger's and all those other things that were there.
Recently they put ADHD.
Yeah, ADHD, Asperger, like those things they're not things anymore. Like you can't be diagnosed with ADD, you can't be diagnosed with Asperger's. It's kind of like you're just on the spectrum.
You're at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's just like you're on a level one through, I guess, whatever. You know what I mean?
And I'm not a psychologist. I can't tell you.
Yeah.
What the?
Yeah, I'm not 100% sure either. But it is something to be very like to educate
it's
yourself.
Changing.
On it.
It's
yeah.
changing too. So we need to be open to, you know.
Yeah, I know I didn't realize how much autism was in my life with people who I truly, truly care about, friends, family, you know, and it's just like, oh man, I never thought of it that way.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's just like, it's not easy. Like you see a kid acting up in the store, and 9 times out of 10, most people are like, oh, that kid.
Oh, that kid. You don't know.
He's being bad.
What's going on.
And this kid probably might have autism, and
a shithead, but might, you know, be something that he can't control.
Yeah.
You know?
And it's eye-opening. I always just tell people to keep open minds and keep learning about stuff. Don't just stay in a box.
Absolutely.
Educate yourself on everything.
Absolutely.
But yeah, that was a great play. I didn't know the Majestic did it as well.
Yep. They did. They hired me to do the graphic design for the posters. I've done a couple other graphic design works here and there.
Yeah.
And that was, that more or less was just a hobby that I honed, you know? Hey, here's some things that, you know, I think look good. Let's slap them together and see if they do.
Yeah.
And then sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. You know, it's a trial and error process. I've said this to like friends, and I've made like a Facebook post about it. But I think the number one thing that I think anyone getting into a visual medium should study, it doesn't matter what visual medium you want to get into, whether it be film, photography, painting, anything, is to understand aesthetic theory.
Mm.
What makes things look good? What make things look distinct?
Yeah.
And if you know how to do that, even if you're not as skilled like with painting, if you know what goes into it, like framing, proportions, color choice, all this stuff, if you know how to play with that, it translates everywhere.
Yeah.
You know, when I would make music videos, I don't, like, write down, oh, we're going to do this, 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 this. I just, because I've been doing them for so long, and because I have studied aesthetics, I can take the camera, look at it, and say, this works.
Yeah.
And if you ask me, why does it work? You know, I could take a weekend off to write a dissertation about why it looks good.
Mm.
Or I can just say, you know, look at it.
Yeah.
It looks all right.
Yeah. When I first started this podcast, I used to do a lot of the interviews with my buddy Nikolai.
Yeah.
And he's really into theater and film and all that stuff. And
I do some acting. I had an audition yesterday.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
For what?
For The Christmas Carol.
Oh, nice.
At the Majestic. Yeah.
Cool. And we would sit and, like, he would show me stuff, would film, and, like, we were going to do a movie project together, but it kind of fell through.
Yeah.
And he was, like, kind of opening my eye, like, how a director looks at things, or how, if you're writing a play or a script or anything, yeah, how you have to really do your character development. And he really opened my eyes on how that stuff, like, and how to make things look good and stuff like that. And, I remember, like, we would sit and watch a movie, and he'd be like, oh, do you notice that? And I was like, what? He goes, the character, her shirt's not the same as the last scene.
Yep.
And you look at him like, holy fuck. Like, I'm like, you noticed that? He goes, yeah. Yep. He goes, it's like, and I was like, you know what? Like, when you watch pro wrestling as much as I do, and you learn the insides of the business and stuff like that, yep, then you watch a match, you're like, oh, I can see what they did there.
Yep.
He's the same way with film. And, we went to see the new Halloween. So we're sitting in theaters, and they did a shot where they had the camera outside the window looking in at the car.
Yeah.
And 9 times out of 10, it's not a real moving car, and they just move the background.
Yeah. Right.
But for some reason, I think they had to have used a real car, because when they were driving, the car was vibrating and shaking. So was the camera. So the camera was shaking like this.
You can add that in post.
Really?
Yeah.
And I remember just sitting in the theater, and I'm watching it, and I'm like, I was like, oh. And I'm like, what? I'm like, I can't visually look at this scene, because the way the camera's shaking, the vibration of the car,
yeah,
it's like, it's not staying focused. It's like
you have this idea of what it's like to be like, this is a camera scene from a car.
Yeah.
You know, and that's not how it really is, but, like, because it's ingrained in your cultural.
And he like looked over, and yep, he goes, look at that, you're picking stuff up.
Yep.
Yeah,
it's fun. It can be annoying sometimes, but I think it is absolutely a good skill to work on. A movie,
Or you catch, like, a cameraman on set or something.
Yeah, my friend Liam O'Brien, who works on a pod, he's the associate producer for a podcast out in, I don't know if it's LA or Burbank, but okay, it's called, I'm plugging his.
No, absolutely.
So yeah, it's called In Love with the Process, where they talk about with, you know, film industry people. Very good show. But last year, when The Lighthouse came out, we
I want to see that.
It's fantastic. We went, and this is going to turn into a bit of a Lighthouse review, but we went to see it, and after, like, the car ride back, we were just talking about the lighting. We were talking about how to set up some of the shots.
The whole movie's in black and white.
The whole movie's in black and white. The whole movie's in, I don't remember which aspect ratio. I think it's 1.3, I think. I'm not sure. It's in a very specific aspect ratio. I wasn't expecting to talk about it. I would have looked it up earlier, but yeah. It's shot like it, and it's on one of the old cameras that they used in, like,
I know Tarantino did that, where he had to go out and find special film and a camera, yeah, because certain shots in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, he wanted to shoot with an old camera.
I have a fun story about that as well. But
I don't know why that's still vibrating.
I think
it's bothering
the
me.
Lighthouse, the story itself, is okay.
Yeah,
it gets the job done. You know, it's not a bad story, but it's not spectacular necessarily. Every other aspect of the film, the way it's shot, the way it's lit, the way it's edited, the sound design, the acting, the dialogue.
Perfect.
Perfect.
That's Batman and the guy who I always wanted to be the Joker.
Yeah.
In that movie. William Dafoe, I think he would be a sick older Joker.
Absolutely.
With that big smile he has.
Yeah.
Oh, it'd be amazing.
I was going to say something else.
No.
I totally blanked.
I forget what we were going, whether we were going to. Oh, how, like, film and stuff.
Oh, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. It was funny. a group of friends of, and I were part of NBS, which is the National Broadcast Society, like an honors society for people in film and television, radio. We flew out to Burbank, California this March. And if you know what happened this March, that's when quarantine started.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I was in Los Angeles when everything shut down.
Oh, shit.
Our flight back was like the day that they said to all the fast food, you can't have people inside. Like, we stopped at Panda Express on the way back to the airport, and they wouldn't let us in. They were like, what the hell?
Yeah.
This will only last for a week or so.
Yeah.
But while we were there...
It's like a zombie apocalypse.
And this is such a just a funny thing that we did. While we were there, my friend Brian said, hey, let's go check out Quentin Tarantino's private movie theater, or personal.
Yeah.
It's the one that he owns, where he only shows film on its original film stock.
Mm-hmm.
Like its original reel, how it was shot, because he has a huge collection. And we ended up watching like the original cut of, or like the original release cut of Once Upon a Time in Hollywood in his own theater.
That's amazing.
Right before everything shut down.
Like, I know people were hating on that movie.
I liked it.
Check. Well, what the hell just happened? This, it did it again.
What's going on?
The, I don't know how long it was doing this. Oh, I guess I got to do some editing then. It's my soundboard, for some reason, it just stops picking up audio.
Huh.
It did it to me last night in Skype, where it just kind of switches on its own.
That sucks.
Yeah. So, I mean, this is recording audio, and I can put it together later, but, like,
yeah.
Like right now, that Zoom, that audio is not doing shit.
Mm.
I can fuck with it real quick. What's the next topic you want to talk about?
Let's get the list up. Oh, short films that I've made. So I make a lot of short films. And a lot of them are very similar to how I make music videos, except, you know, mm-hmm. obviously we make a premise where we have these short turnarounds. One that I should be in the description is called Forbidden Fruit. And that was also that wasn't for a film festival, actually. No, it was. I get them mixed up because there's one that wasn't, one that was. Forbidden Fruit, I wanted to do something with my friend Ian, so I text him. And this is the entire script. We didn't write anything further than this.
Mm-hmm.
I texted him, let's do a video that is like a French art film, but it's about a guy with lactose intolerance who eats a pizza and then shits himself.
Oh, yeah. We talked about this on Truth Behind Illusion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or before or after. We talked about it at some point.
Yeah, there's so much conversation has to be before and after. I forget what's on film and what's not. That's like when people happens. Are like, did you know that they said this on this podcast? And I'm offended. I'm like, realistically, if you podcast a lot, you lose track of what you're saying.
I've lost track of this own conversation already.
My whole brain is like fucked up right now because this has just happened. I don't know what I'm going to do. We'll figure it out.
But that was the entire script. I didn't write anything further than that. I just said, you know, we'll figure out the lighting. We'll figure out the shots when we do it. And like the only other planning I did was I texted him, hey, what kind of pizza do you want to eat?
Yeah.
And he said anything but pineapple. And I said, you don't know. Pineapple's great. And he's like, well, truth be told, I've never had pineapple on a pizza. And then I was like, because one of my goals was with this project, we like screen this at an actual theater. This was for a film festival. And one of my goals was to make the audience as uncomfortable as possible without doing like cutie shit.
Yeah.
So like there's a close-up shot on pizza. Pizza's great, but if you ever like zoom in on pizza texture, it's disgusting.
Yeah.
It makes you never want to touch it again, right? So we have the slow zoom on this pineapple pizza because I wanted it to be as gross as possible. There's a shot where it's just a very close-up shot of his mouth like that whole shot was like a minute long because I just kept recording him eating the pizza. He ate the whole slice. It's only in for like 2 seconds of the actual video, but I just thought it'd be funny
yeah
to get the whole thing and like he's a good actor. Like, he kept a straight face because, like, there's a sexual tension to this video, right? And there's, like, this beautiful Godfather-esque music, like Italian beautiful music. And then he hears, like, his stomach gurgling and his eyes bulge out. And he goes, intolleranza, lactosio. And then it cuts to outside and the fucking house explodes.
It's like a South Park episode.
Yeah, yeah. That's it. Because part of it was that the video could only be a minute long.
Yeah.
Right? That was one of the stipulations for the film fest we were doing. So I wanted to make a shitty French art film about eating pizza and shitting yourself. And I wanted to show it to all of my peers and say, look at this. Everyone loved it. It was cringy, but,
yeah.
You know... We were in on it. It wasn't like
they were funny.
Laughing at us.
Yeah, is that you have that linked?
That's one of the ones that I sent to you.
Cool.
Another is the Man Witch Project. The Man Witch Project.
Like a sloppy Joe.
Everyone says that, and at some point I'm gonna make that joke in a video, but not yet. We've done.
Well, I just feel your humor that I'm getting. Yeah. I'm learning here. I thought that's 100% where we were going.
Everyone says, oh, like this sandwich, and I say, no, it's literally just like a parody of the Blair Witch Project, except
you were a man witch on the podcast. Yeah,
that was the costume. That's part of the costume.
Oh.
I am the man witch in those videos where it's just an apron, a cape that I have, and a witch hat, and I like roll up my sleeves to show up my biceps, and it's just like this jacked, you know, 6'3" witch in the forest. And that's the joke, because, like, it's like a goofy costume.
In Crocs.
Yeah. But we made three of those, three official ones. And something that I like to do is I like to make a different joke every time. So, like, the first... You have
a little bit of interference from your phone on the board.
Oh, sorry.
It's all right.
So, the first one was just like a straight horror. It was still funny because it was broad daylight. And the joke is he says the phrase man witch. And that just sounds funny. And then the monster turns out to be just
a giant
me dressed up as a witch.
Was your hair down or up?
It was down. It was shorter than we did last year. We did the Man Witch 2. Which was he wakes up in the forest and then confronts the man witch. And then it just turns out that the man witch is like a typical skook. And he's like, oh, I got to deal with all these fucking...
you know, kids in my wood trying to hunt.
Yeah, exactly. And like one of his abilities is he can like summon yinglings.
we had a skit idea. I probably shouldn't say because I think my one friend actually wants to make a short film of it.
Yeah.
But we like The Purge. But the purge happens in Schuylkill County.
Oh, that'd be
so
fun.
Like the whistle goes off for the purge worldwide, and in Schuylkill County, it's just like
nothing changes.
Just people drinking and driving, or going on bush runs, or just like kids going in and buying chew and cigarettes and beer, and just like the downtown, like public drunkenness, like people just go to a bar, like walking down the street with beers in their hands, and like no one's hurting
and
each
then
other.
Nothing changes.
Yeah,
it's just legal now.
Yeah, it's just everything we want to do normally. They're just putting it out in Front Street, like.
And then
we should have a bonfire in the center of town.
Yeah, at Garfield. The third Man Witch video we did, which hasn't come out. Was like an interview on a talk show. At my school, we have access to a full like studio. And so we just set up the studio to be like a talk show. And we had them interview the Man Witch. And then on Christmas, we did this on Christmas. I don't celebrate, I'll get into the season and whatnot.
Yeah.
But I'm not a Christmas guy. It's not that big for me. So on Christmas Eve, my sister was visiting for the holiday, and I said, let's make a Man Witch video, the Man Witch Christmas special. So it was pretty much exactly the same, except I was wearing a Santa hat. And it was my sister instead of my roommate.
Yeah.
We shot that on Christmas Eve, and then I spent Christmas Day editing it and then uploading it.
Just the Santa Claus?
Yeah.
The Santa Claus witch?
Yeah, the Christmas special. And and it ends with some copyright strikes, but it was worth it.
What were the copyright strikes?
Because do you know about the Last Christmas challenge?
Mm-hmm.
Or it's Whamageddon. That's what it's called. Where at the start of December, it starts on December 1st. You see how long you can go without hearing Last Christmas by Wham. And if you last until Christmas, you win. But if you hear it, and the rule is if you recognize that you're hearing it. It could be in the background, and if you don't notice it, you're still in.
Yeah.
And the way I got out was really funny, because my sister, my dad, and I, and this was like the 21st, we were almost going to win. We were all at Five Guys Burgers and Fries. And we're just sitting there having a good time. My sister was already out, but she's having a good time. And we're just sitting there. We're already done with our food. We're going to get a refill. And my sister hears it. I don't hear it at first. I don't recognize what's playing. My sister says, "We need to leave." And I'm like, what are you talking about? And then I hear it, and I'm like, "We need to leave." So my dad didn't hear it, and then he took his sweet time.
No,
it got all of us.
Is that technically, like, again, like, if we're playing and I'm out,
yeah,
I can't put it on my phone and just like put it to your
ear. You can.
That's cheating.
It is. It's awful. You can ruin other people's, and you know they'll beat you up for it.
Like, but if she didn't acknowledge the fact that you heard that, you'd have been fine.
But I would have heard it at. Like, I didn't, there was like a 10 second grace period where I wouldn't have recognized it.
Yeah.
She recognized it. She knew that I had that 10 seconds. So she was trying to save me because I would have heard it.
We're recording.
But, but part of the Christmas special was that at the very end, I put the song.
Yeah. Pops just rolled in for banging beers.
Yep. Later tonight.
What else you have to cut? Is there anything else you want to cover here? Or?
Let's see if I get. We're making a Manwich 3. I talked to the guest of the original.
Okay.
The documentaries. Yeah, that won't take too long to talk about.
Okay.
I'm tentatively working, because I'm not sure, you know, when or if they'll happen, but I am still on board for them for two documentaries. One of them is about the Satanic Temple in Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
That again was with my friend Levi. It's with the Friends of the Satanic Temple organization, and it's just going to talk about the history, because there's a lot of stigma against the organization. And so, you know, I think if people understood the actual what it meant, mm-hmm. and the history of it,
because the Satanic Church and the Satanic Temple are kind of different.
Yeah,
it's kind of like being a Catholic and then being non-denomination and regular Catholic, where like non-denomination doesn't preach that the saints or Mary, they just go to God.
Yeah.
Where Satanism, that in this form, they don't actually believe or worship Satan.
Right.
They mostly worship themselves, but they use Satan imagery to kind of like be funny.
Yeah, because
there's not humor to it, but it's like
the idea of Christianity is you are small compared to the universe, compared to God. Satanism is saying no, you are important.
Yeah.
You know, you yourself.
You are in charge of.
Yeah,
your own, like,
the big picture.
Don't pray
you.
For something. Put your work in and get it done yourself.
Yeah.
And they, like I said, they use the, because the term Satanist, are to be a Satan is to be a non-believer for the most part.
Right.
So they're not saying Satan as in like the big red guy downstairs that is in love with Saddam Hussein in South Park. They're saying it as like you're a non-believer of Christians, so you are a Satanist.
Yes.
So then they use the Satan imagery to kind of like throw kick sand in your face. For the most part.
For the most part.
Yeah. And then the church is more or less like they attack the Christians, like saying that you're wrong. And the temple's more or less like just, oh, you're a Christian? Cool. I hope that works out for you. And you just go about your day.
Yeah.
You're not looking for confrontation. You're not looking to debunk. You're not looking to recruit. You're just like, hey, I'm worried about myself.
You'll discuss it. You'll, you know, if a conversation comes up, but yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, Levi is writing it. And I'll help edit with it. And I'm not sure when this is going to come about, but it is something.
Still in the works.
Another thing still in the works is a video essay I'm working on with my friend Zane Rudder. And we might bring more people into it. I'm not sure. But he texted one of our group chats and said, "What do you think of when you hear the word troll?"
Mm-hmm.
Right? And everyone
Danny DeVito.
The troll toll.
Yeah.
everyone had a different answer, though. Someone posted like the troll face meme. Someone posted like
a troll on the internet.
Yeah, a World of Warcraft troll. Someone posted D&D stuff.
Ernest. Ernest Scared Stupid, where it's all trolls. That's a movie from my childhood. Remember the Ernest movies? Dad? You remember the Ernest movies I used to watch when I was a kid? Ernest Goes to Prison, Ernest Scared Stupid. Damn, showing
my
age.
Yep. No, I remember them. I saw them all the time at Blockbuster.
Yep. There's like 400 of them.
But like, and like, there's the wooden trolls, the little plastic, you know, with the hair.
Oh, and, yeah, and, with the gem in the belly button.
Yeah. And like, there's all these different ideas of what a troll is. So we're like going to talk about like where it came from, why trolls are what they are, and how, and like how it is actually pretty logical how it branched out so far.
That'd be a good episode of Truth Behind Illusion.
Yeah,
trolls. We'll have you back.
Yep.
You have another logo. It could be you as a troll.
I'll bring Zane for that one.
Yeah. Is he local?
So he can drive.
Okay.
I'll let him know. But that's it for big projects I'm working on. I'm mostly working on finishing my degree.
Yeah.
I'm on my last year.
Yeah.
So
I think we have some cool stuff, man.
Yeah.
I like what you're doing.
Yeah.
I think we could definitely partner up. I'll definitely have you back on the show. It was a fun conversation. Absolutely. Sucks that there was a lot of stuff going on. We had chainsaws going earlier, so we couldn't record right away.
Yep.
and stuff like that, which is not a big deal. But yeah, so I mean, I don't want to rush the end here, but you know, everyone is starting to show up for Banging Beers, so we're gonna go back to back recording here. But definitely check all the links below. Hopefully I can get the video to sync with the audio. I'm sure I can figure it out, but that'll do it for Interviews with Everyday People. We'll see you guys next time. Here's some Mahantango. See you soon.